Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This column is entitled Power and Energy. It was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim because he is on the road again. Jim says, I always say this about energy. It is political. Let's keep this in mind as we kick off Power and Energy Month here at Paparitalo Publications. It is not by accident that we always devote December to power and energy. It comes after November, and in November in the United States, we have elections. At least every 2 years, the elections will have outcomes that may affect energy policy. There is not an energy shortage on the planet Earth in the foreseeable future. We used to think that there was one, but the methods of finding and extracting energy have expanded considerably since the more simplistic days of the 1970s and 1980s. So now it is a matter of what you're willing to pay for extraction and transportation, coupled with what emissions or other disruptions to nature you're willing to tolerate from the extraction and combustion processes. All forms seem to have their advocates and detractors. Energy policy has become as vitriolic a political subject as about any topic one can find in the political arena. Still, energy is vitally important to the ways we live our lives today. Non-human energy has allowed large swaths of the population to lead lives in a synthetic world. This is the point I want to focus on this week. In our mills, it seems that every generation is less well-equipped when it comes to the practical matters of understanding and operating a paper machine. I think the reason for this is the synthetic world from which they came.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
How's it going, Bill? Or should I say Stud?
Very funny.
Really? How's the work on that dryer head going?
We've been trying to take out those three bolts for 2 days. I've had crews working on it around the clock, we've broken wrenches, and must have gone through about a gallon of penetrating oil. And we accidentally hit the dryer shell a number of times. Now I'm going to have to get a metallurgical engineer out here to see if we have done any permanent damage.
So, are you doing this the old-fashioned way, just for fun?
Huh? You got any better ideas, Miss Smarty Pants?
Matter of fact, I do. Ever heard of CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal?
CB what?
CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal.
Who's that?
CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal will take care of those studs and not damage anything else. Heck, the U.S. Navy has used them to repair aircraft carrier decks.
How long does it take?
Usually about 2 hours, and the threads in the hole are not damaged.
Well, that's probably nice if you're in the big city, but out here in Hickory Flats, I'll bet they cost a fortune and take forever to get here.
They claim they can be anywhere in the world in 48 hours, and for shutdowns, they can be here on standby for a reasonable fee. I know they've worked in mines in Chile, and just how much has your effort cost so far, Stud? Around-the-clock cruise for 2 days? Lost production of how much? Maybe a damaged dryer shell?
Yeah, you've got a point. How do I get in touch with CB whatchamacallit?
It's CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal. Call them at 1-757-465-0333 or visit them on the web at cbgmaintenance.com. CBG, MAI, NTENANCE.com. Or again, phone them at 1-757-465-0333.
CBG Metal Disintegration and Stud Removal. Now that has a nice ring to it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Go back 30 to 50 years, and many of the employees in our mills, while perhaps not college graduates, had grown up on a farm or had spent time working on their cars or watched a family member work on cars, fix a leaky faucet, or change out a malfunctioning light switch. In the process, they learned how these things worked and gathered a holistic understanding of the operation of machinery and processes. Today, everything is on a computer screen. The operators believe the computer screen. Indeed, I am convinced that many times they do not know where the valve, tank, or pump that is flashing malfunction on the screen is even located. They think that, quote, other people, end quote, are supposed to know where these things are and fix them when they are broken. This allocation of responsibilities and dumbing down of operators started about 30 or so years ago when process computer systems became economical enough to come into widespread use. This mill had been built in the late 1960s and was operated from bench boards on the floor. We installed a distributed control system and put the operators in a control room. It was a struggle, but at least these operators actually knew where everything was physically located, for just a few weeks earlier they had been out on that floor. Operators today have never had that experience, or worse yet, have an attitude that says it's beneath them to go out on the floor and actually do something. We are headed for a crisis. At the Light Green Machine Institute, we have just begun to consider the jumbled mess control systems have become. Many systems are past their useful life and spares are no longer available. Software has been indiscriminately modified in the middle of the night and no one knows which version of the program is the one that is, quote, correct, end quote. In fact, no one knows what correct is. So we have a combination of operators who have little physical understanding of the systems they operate. Some of them have an attitude, and on top of that, the hardware and software that serves their crutches is obsolete. We want to do something about this. The Light Green Machine Institute may form a committee that will examine the control system problem and promulgate a series of design guidelines and standards to help the industry avert disaster. Would you or your company be willing to help? Please take our quiz online this week to show your interest. Safety systems suffer the same electronic malaise as operating systems. Fortunately, they seem to be discrete packages that can be examined and replaced as appropriate. Do you have a plan to do so? Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
There is a capital project in your future. You have spent many dollars on planning and ordering equipment for your capital project, and you're about to spend much more on its installation and startup. And you could perhaps spend a little less and move a little more efficiently by forming a team with Pro Services, both in planning and executing your project. The experienced team of Pro Services pulp and paper engineers and project managers will work with your team months in advance to find and solve potential problems, plan for the utmost in safety precautions, analyze your financials, and chart the best path for an orderly installation and an ultimately successful startup. Your know-how plus our know-how will get your capital project up and running as quickly and efficiently as possible. Together, we'll be a powerful capital project team. Call us at 269-327-2322. Visit us at prosatwork.com. At Pro Services, we work.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 12th of December, 2016. The title, Easy Energy Money. The two ideas I'm going to talk about here have been around a very long time, but I'm amazed how many people don't use them, not just in replacement scenarios, but in new installations. On top of that, the electronics and controls necessary to make these work get better and better all the time, thus a compelling reason to use them whenever possible. The first one I want to mention is regenerative drives. The number one application is winder unwind stands. Not only will this application help your winder build better rolls, it gives back a little electricity at the same time. The new ones are simply phenomenal and trouble-free. Two other places to consider regenerative drives, crane hoist and truck dump hydraulics. Crane hoist usually control load lowering via brakes. Brakes mean wasted energy. Hydraulic truck dumps usually lower through a restrictive control valve. Why not a regenerative drive that will reabsorb all that energy? The other application is VFD, or variable frequency drives, on pumps. A VFD on a pump makes so much economic sense when compared to a fixed-speed motor and a control valve. At one time, these VFDs were too expensive, but no more. In any new variable flow pumping application, you should use VFDs, no economic study required. Or perhaps you must do a study once, but that should be the end of it. Both you and your management should think VFDs from then on. What I like to see in pumping situations, especially stock prep departments, is an arrangement that not only uses VFDs, but considers elevation and twists and turns as well. If I can build a configuration with an initial pumping to an elevated tank, install the rest of my process downstream, lower and in a straight line, I can minimize pumping head losses and friction losses due to elbows. Such a system is inherently economical to operate from an energy cost standpoint. If you are in a high-cost area for energy, the gains are even greater. Beyond these two ideas, let me mention another great energy-saving idea. This is going to sound like an infomercial, but I can't help it. Airmaster Aerators, a faithful advertiser here at Papri Tala Publication, builds an aerator that beats anything I have ever seen. It is simple, economical to operate, and superior in performance. On top of that, if you are reaching the limits of electrical capacity in your lagoon infrastructure, these units, because they deliver higher performance at lower horsepower, will save on capacity upgrades in your electrical line, switchgear, and transformers that serve your lagoon system. Airmaster has had at least one engineer, albeit without much experience, reject them out of hand because he did not believe the energy to performance claims, would not even check them out because he thought the claims were so preposterous. Check them out yourself and see what you think about them.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No. Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster, Airmaster, Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Energy savings have come a long way in my 46 years in the industry. From fuels to insulation to heat capture to smart uses of electricity, we've made tremendous strides. Yet every time I turn around, it seems like someone is pointing out yet another energy source we have not optimized. Energy is still a land of opportunity. Do you have any experiences with the ideas I've mentioned this week? If so, please take our quiz online. For safety this week, it stands to reason that the more energy users we can eliminate, the less chance of injury around motors, pumps, and so forth there will be. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
If your equipment installation, construction, or maintenance project is complex, your choice is simple. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide full-service general contractor, specializes in the most complex projects in the pulp and paper industry. Our millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of knowledgeable technical and professional staff are effective and efficient in any shutdown, planned or unplanned. Take the simple step to getting your next project done safely, on time, and on budget. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com. That's crmeyer.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 19th of December, 2016. I told you energy is political. For many years, I've been telling the faithful readers of this column that energy is a political issue. Now the proof is in. Look at President-elect Trump's cabinet selections, and I don't say you must like him or them, but just take a look. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, CEO of Exxon. Energy Secretary Rick Perry, former governor of Texas. EPA head Scott Pruitt, Oklahoma Attorney General. All people with a heritage in the energy industry. On top of that, his nominee for Secretary of the Interior is Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, who has pushed for drilling rights on Native American lands. Again, I didn't say you have to like it, but this is the evidence. And here at Paparitalo Publications, our policy is to be apolitical but prudent, watching for signs of things to come. So what does this tell us? It may not be time to abandon your coal-fired boilers just yet. That does not mean the time to abandon them is not coming, and soon, but it just may not be the right around the corner.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Well, it's time to start planning our annual recovery boiler outage again.
Yes, it is. Budgets are tighter than ever, even though business is good. And speaking of good business, sales is pressuring us to have as short an outage as possible. They need the production.
Well, getting in a hurry costs money and can lead to safety problems.
I know. And you know we are always under pressure for our safety record, too. It seems like corporate has nothing better to do than to keep pushing us on every front.
I think I have a solution to all of these problems.
What's that?
RMR Mechanical. They've done a great work for us in the past and have a great safety record, too. They almost always beat the schedule.
Sounds like this meeting is over.
RMR Mechanical. The only name you need to know for an economical, quick, and safe boiler outage. Phone 770-205-9646 or visit us on the web at rmrmechanical.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
I have told you for several years to be careful about abandoning energy assets, for energy is certainly political, and the fuel du jour today may not be the fuel du jour tomorrow. We could once again see a situation where the relative prices between the fuels flip, and what was economical today is not economical tomorrow. Of course, some of you must consider energy usage in another light. You are in grades where your customers watch your business closely and demand your energy consumption match the narrative to which they subscribe. That is an economic decision for you, too. You'll lose your customer base if you don't follow their perceptions of what a responsible corporate citizen should do. But now more than ever, the essential point is this. Energy usage does not follow the rules of engineering economics in the long run. The relative position of energy cost and, to some extent, the availability of a particular form of energy fluctuates widely on a year-to-year basis. This means you cannot make long-term plans for energy sources for your mill. An example from the past. Who is burning bunker oil in their boilers now? However, in the 1970s, I remember mills converting boilers to burn this because it was the only economical fuel in plentiful supply for certain types of existing boilers. At the same time, entire residential neighborhoods were built without natural gas service lines because natural gas was in limited supply and no one believed it would ever be plentiful again. During that period, I owned two houses with heat pumps built in such neighborhoods. I suspect if you put your 2017 energy budget together in October, you'll be revising it in February. There are at least two things that have happened since then that will make you do this. The first is the election, of course. The second is the recent OPEC accord. Energy became an issue within 6 months of me graduating from university in 1973. It has been an issue ever since, with ever-changing parameters from availability to cost to environment to public perception. It does appear that it will not retreat into the background anytime soon. We have one simple question on our quiz this week. You may take it online. For safety this week, fire burns and electricity can kill you. Sometimes we need to be reminded of this. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you ready to advance your career in the pulp and paper industry? Freeman Staffing specializes in pulp and paper positions and the placement of engineers of all disciplines, from production supervisors and managers, mill managers, maintenance engineers and managers, project engineers and managers, process engineers and managers, to corporate executives, North America-wide. Freeman Staffing can help you find the best job opportunity in the industry. Contact Freeman Staffing at 800-221-9629. That's 800-221-9629. Or visit them at www.freemanstaffing.com to look at current opportunities. That's FreemanStaffing.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 26th of December, 2016. The title, Energy, Perception, Environment Blend. Back at the first energy crisis, October 1973, the focus was on where we would obtain energy in the future. This continued up through the Carter administration when the DOE, or Department of Energy, was created, which was August 1977, with one of its main purposes being to find new sources of energy, particularly energy that could be used in transport. To understand the mood in those days, let's delve a bit into a speech President Carter made upon the occasion of announcing the federal loan guarantees for the Great Plains Coal Gasification Plant to be built in North Dakota. These remarks were made by the President on July 18, 1980, less than 3 years after the founding of the DOE. And we'll be back with those after these messages.
Many companies have inventory that they cannot use or cannot count on selling anytime soon. If your company is one of these, that excess or useless inventory is costing you money by tying up storage space, and worse, it is tying up your money. Money that is decreasing in purchasing value. Old inventory is holding your company back from greater opportunities and new ventures. So how can you recover more money out of your excess inventory? A great answer is Stockpiles, a marketplace that connects buyers and sellers. Stockpiles lets you list your for sale products and materials on its website free of charge, and you control your selling price. Let Stockpiles help you free up your money. Give them a call at 859-445-4920 or visit their website at www.siderolls.com.
So here's what President Carter said. The Canadian government has just announced that they have approved the construction of the first leg of a 4,800-mile natural gas pipeline from Prudhoe Bay down to the heartland of America. We are very pleased with this, and by 1985 it will be completed and will provide about 2.5 billion cubic feet of natural gas per day, equivalent to about 400,000 barrels of imported oil that we won't have to buy. He goes on, I would like to announce this morning and deliver to these assembled leaders the approval by the federal government of a $250 million loan guarantee for the construction of this coal to natural gas conversion plant to be built in North Dakota. This plant will be the first commercial coal to gas plant ever built in our nation. And it is with a great deal of pleasure I deliver to Mr. Sider, who was a private industry, energy industry representative on the dais, this conditional commitment to guarantee the $250 million in loans, from which a great deal more money can be derived from private sources for the construction of this remarkable plant. We'll be observing its progress with great interest and anticipation, and the entire nation will be benefited by this project. That's the end of what we're going to say about Mr. Carter, but compare that to what President Obama, and a reminder, he's of the same party as President Carter, said, taking action along with Canada on the 20th of December 2016 to prohibit energy exploration in the Arctic and much of the Atlantic coast of the United States. Upon this occasion, the White House issued a statement which said in part, quotes, "These actions and Canada's parallel actions protect a sensitive and unique ecosystem that is unlike any other region on Earth. They reflect the scientific assessment that even with the high safety standards that both our countries have put in place, the risk of an oil spill in this region is significant and our ability to clean up from a spill in the region's harsh conditions is limited," end quote. The time between President Carter's speech and President Obama's actions, a mere 13,305 days, or if you prefer, 36 years, 5 months, and 3 days, a blip in history. Did you notice any comments about the environment in President Carter's speech? Did you notice any comments about energy security in President Obama's actions? The answer is no in both cases. We have moved from a perception of the imminent danger of running out of energy to the perception that we must forget energy security. We have an imminent danger of destroying the environment. And of course, the switch did not come at the extremis of these 2 points. It began occurring much earlier and was in effect many years ago. This makes our jobs much tougher today than they have ever been. We must assure our companies a secure energy supply while meeting today's demands of environmental expectations, 2 objectives often at odds. Today it is called being green, terminology not yet developed in President Carter's day. So, as we leave Energy Month behind us for this year, be aware that whether you are the CEO, mill manager, energy czar, or project engineer, your job today is more demanding than ever as we deal with energy, the environment, and public perception. We're going to give you a break on the quiz this week, so there's no quiz. For safety this week, as we've reminded you all month, energy sources are dangerous. One which receives little attention but can do much damage is compressed air. It literally is a bomb waiting to go off. Be safe, and we will talk next week. And Merry Christmas.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.